What's up, everyone? Sean has a nanny cam, we have flashbacks, and Leanne has a big secret. We're going to talk about all of that and more in one quick second.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Servants After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Brandon Hanna, and today I am joined once again by a very special co-host, Mr. James Maple.
Hello, servant fans. It's your boy, James Maple, here with Brandon Hanna. We're talking episode 4 today.
We are.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. Yeah.
And as we've talked about, you are a huge psychological horror fan.
Massive.
And now a huge fan of this show, just like me, correct?
Yes, massive, massive.
And I cannot wait to talk about, finally, your restaurant experience.
Yeah, we're going
to
get into it.
Food is such a big part of this show.
It really is. We're going to get into it.
Yeah, so let's just get into, well, first of all, can't forget. Let's just go through the outline here a bit, shall we?
Yeah.
Sean's got a nanny cam. We're going to talk about that. Flashbacks reveal some more details about the past of Sean and Dorothy's baby.
Yeah.
And maybe more into that. And of course, there's a big reveal at the end regarding Leanne and Dorothy. And we got a special segment about fun facts.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to get into all that. But let's talk about our overall thoughts on the episode.
Yeah. So this episode to me was one of my, I think, favorite of the four we've been talking about thus far. We just got a lot of questions answered, in my opinion. Seeing, again, the dynamic between Dorothy and Leanne progressing has been really, really interesting. And then getting some backstory into Julian as well has been really cool. So I really enjoyed this episode thoroughly.
Yeah, and you know, I love how this episode starts off where we get Leanne wanting to bring the baby on the job with
yes.
Dorothy. Yes. And there's some conflict there between Dorothy and Sean that I find really interesting. Now, obviously, Sean doesn't want this baby to go because he's trying to keep everything a huge secret.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah, I was so taken aback by that. I mean, like, because, you know, as an audience member, we know, like, the deal is with the baby. So that's, like, breaking party lines. You're not taking the baby to work. What are you thinking? So I was so shocked that she even pitched the idea to Sean. And Sean was, I think, was, like, kind of thinking about it. But he ended up, like, turning down the idea. But I think I could see the gears turning in his head. I think he was really, like, articulating the thought of having her bring the baby to work.
Yeah, definitely. But we also see Sean kind of revert back to his old self that
course,
we've seen in the first few episodes when he kind of... He talks to Dorothy. He's like, all right, I'll break the news to her gently.
Yeah.
And then he just walks away. He's like, you're not going.
You're not going. You're just not. It's not
happening
for you.
Walks away.
Yeah.
Just breaks her heart.
Yeah.
And that's another time that we get to see Leanne be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it almost makes me too comfortable with her in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It freaks me out even more, actually.
Yeah, because you just don't know what you're going to get with Leanne. Every episode, like we said in the past episode, she changes so frequently. Like, you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and we do see her evolve more in this episode. We see her relationship with Sean evolve even more.
Yeah.
But to that point, we also see Sean bring a nanny cam into the mix.
Yeah. So that was really, really interesting. And to be frank with you, I was shocked that it wasn't done, like, before it could be Leanne, any nanny. Mm-hmm. Like, you bring a stranger into your house like that, it's taking care of the most precious thing that you own, your child. I was a little shocked that it wasn't done before, but I'm glad it was done now because, you know, they have, like, a third set of eyes in the house to kind of keep eyes on Leanne and her doings and happenings with the baby. So that was a really, really, like, thoughtful thing that as an audience member, I'm like, dude, y'all should have done that a long time ago. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm surprised that Julian actually wasn't the one who suggested the idea. He's been the most skeptical of her.
Yeah, because Julian, like, I feel like we always forget this. Julian still has a tie to the baby. Like, he's still the uncle of this baby. So he's still, you know, tied with blood. So I think he should have, like, a genuine vested interest in to figure out, like, what's going on. And like you said last week, he's one of the few people in this universe of the show that knows the truth about the death of the baby and the baby that we see now. So it's been really cool to see him again be those eyes for the audience.
Yeah, and once again, obviously Sean doesn't want the world to know about that truth, so he's dead against Leanne bringing the baby to work.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. But it's interesting when he does watch her on this nanny cam, like, and it's something that he kind of noticed even before the nanny cam, that Leanne was bringing the baby into her room at night.
Yeah. See, like, I don't have any kids. I didn't know that, like, that was a no-no. So he mentioned that as he was talking, I think, to Julian.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, she keeps bringing the baby into her room. That's like a big no-no. Like, and I was like, you know what? Now that I think about it, why the heck is she doing that? Like, and I think in the series of their conversation, he's like, all she does is like, is sleep, eat, and like take care of Jericho. So I don't think she's doing anything that we know of yet that's like so like ominous or bad. But he did raise that point to say that it was a little strange for her to be bringing Jericho into her room to take care of him, and he has his own dedicated room as well.
Yeah, it is weird, and as a parent, I think I would be pretty upset by that, yeah, or weirded out by that.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. That's like, not normal, is it?
I don't think it's okay, normal good. At all. But then that kind of brings to Julian's point where he thinks that, well, what if that's actually Leanne's baby,
yeah,
that she brought in to take care of, to home, you know, food on the table.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting, and it kind of steers away from some of the supernatural elements that we think we,
yeah,
might have been seeing.
That's a great point.
In this show, or maybe this is just to throw us off that scent.
That's an even better point. Yeah.
You never know with M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, reel it out.
But yeah, I thought, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought that was... that was really interesting. This is one of the, like you said a moment ago, this was a real realist moment where we could step outside of the realm of like superstition and be like, okay, logically, these series of events could have happened. You know, she could have, you know, taken someone's identity, and we actually physically see Sean's thought process play out when we see, I mean, though it is a thought process and it's not actually happening within the logic of the episode, we see her opening a suitcase and there being a baby in there. So you're like, oh, okay, maybe that is the logical thing that happened. And you're like, okay, maybe this whole, all the supernatural stuff didn't happen. It was just a quick swap for a swap, baby for a baby, and that's it. But Leanne is crazy. Things don't happen that easily on this series. So I think that, though I think that is a logical thing that could happen, that's not going to happen, I don't think.
No,
I think there's something more supernatural happening.
Well, I love how Julian kind of brings the logic into this show.
Yeah, he does.
And I think that's actually like a really interesting storytelling technique where they actually physically showed us the baby in the suitcase coming,
yeah,
out when Julian was talking about that theory, and that kind of makes you wonder, like, maybe this is more than a theory. Like, if they're showing it to us, maybe it really did happen.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're going to show us a few different theories,
yeah,
in the episodes coming up. I don't know. But I just like visually how they showed that.
That was a great scene.
And what maybe it implies.
Yeah, that was a great scene. I don't know. You know, like I said, with this series, you think you have a grasp of like, okay, this is going to happen, I got this, and nope, you're wrong. You think you know a thing or three, and you don't. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I do think that, like I said, that would make sense. But there's just something about Leanne that I'm like, She doesn't operate on such like a linear path. Like, she's up and down. She's co-signing, like, up, down. Like, I think that she has a plan. What that plan is, I don't know. But I think she has, like, a plan. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I don't really know what to make of it. But before we get into our next segment, I just want to say thank you so much for watching and making us the ESPN of TV talk. We could not do this show without you. So thank you for allowing us to be here and talk about this awesome show, because we both love it. It's
really
both
do.
Weirding us out. Can't wait to talk about it some more. So just please make sure you subscribe on YouTube. You give us a rating on iTunes and leave a comment. Tell us how great we did, what your theories are,
yeah,
maybe, how awful we might have done.
Yeah.
I hope not that last one.
We'd love to hear from you, definitely.
Yes, thank you for supporting us, for doing what we love. And in terms of things that we might know or might not know about Leanne,
mm-hmm,
we actually did learn some new information in this episode that I think we can really run with, and that there's been actual flashbacks that,
yeah,
reveal that Jericho wasn't the first baby, that there's,
right,
been multiple miscarriages by,
right,
Dorothy. And this is a huge strain on their relationship, obviously, and it explains so much.
Yeah, so this, like you said a moment ago, it really does explain a lot. You know, we were never given a genuine, concrete answer as to, you know, why Jericho passed away at 13 weeks. And that scene, that opening scene of episode 4, you see such excitement, and it's such a very rare real couple moment that we see between Sean and Dorothy. She's so excited to be having a baby, and I think they even throw out a couple baby names, and he's like, don't jinx it, don't name the baby too early. And I thought it was a little strange when you saw Sean he pulls out a Sharpie and wrote on the pregnancy test. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I thought maybe he was changing, like, the minus to a plus or something. Like,
that's what I thought initially,
yeah,
too.
I was like, oh, is she pregnant? And then you see, like, that, like, crushing moment, I feel like, when he opens the drawer and there's, like, a little box in the left of the drawer and he opens the box and there's, like 8-9 pregnancy tests with different babies' names on the pregnancy test. So it's a clear sign that, like, there are some genuine fertility issues that may exist between the two of them. And we really get a sense of what's going on with them. And it adds an added dimension, another layer to their relationship. And it really shows you maybe why they have such strain and such, you know, consternation between the two of them, because they have, like, this deep-seated issue that they both can overcome together. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought visually, just every time they had a miscarriage, and there was a new pregnancy, there was a different name for the baby,
yeah,
that Sean would take a Sharpie marker and write on the pregnancy test, right, the new name.
Yeah.
And I just thought visually that really, like, hit hard for me, because it shows the impact of what they're going through, what the strain on, yeah, their relationship is. And then towards the end of it, you kind of see Sean kind of getting desensitized,
yeah,
to it almost, where they finally do come to the pregnancy test that gave them Jericho. He just didn't really care.
Yeah.
Like, he just automatically assumed that this would be another miscarriage.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out. And he just kind of throws it,
yeah,
in the box.
That's a great point,
and
man.
Just very nonchalant.
I didn't even think about that. He definitely had this, like, very, and I hate to use this phrase, but like a throwaway kind of feeling. It was like, oh, here we go again. Like, she's going to get excited. I'm just chalk this up to, like, here we go again. It's going to happen in a couple months. You raised a really good point. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, and he just treats that pregnancy test the same way he treated the doll when,
yeah,
they had it. It's like, okay, just tossed it around the house.
Yeah.
No big deal. Doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's like, and it makes me wonder if we're going to see any of those 13 weeks leading up to Jericho's death. And how Sean treats the baby at,
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, I don't know. And we've had some small notions of them asking about what happened to Jericho. I think in the previous episode, or maybe the episode before then, they allude to knowing what happened. I think they say literally, you know what happened to Jericho. Mm-hmm. We as the audience member don't still know what happened to the baby. But I'm hoping that within this episode, we were given a far more backstory, so I'm hoping that we continue down this path and, like, really get to know, because your boy is dying to know what's going on with Jericho. So that scene, though, I keep going back to your point, that's really profound, because I never thought about it that way. It was very much like, oh, it's a Tuesday, like, whatever, like, just had another pregnancy test, not going to work out. And then we actually are given some insight into the specifics about why they can't have a baby. They mentioned that Dorothy has an overactive immune system, and she internalizes that immune system issue as her immune system attacking the foreign object, that being the baby,
mm-hmm,
and she blames herself for this slew of miscarriages that she's encountered. So I thought it was really interesting to finally give at least a little bit of information regarding why they're having the fertility issues they are and what they could be. I thought that was a pretty interesting point that we were able to figure out this episode as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of, like, makes me look at the bigger picture of things too. Like, is that kind of like a metaphor for everything that's kind of going on in the show? Is, you know, Leanne kind of comes into the house like almost like a foreign object,
yeah,
and then she and causes a lot of problems.
That's so good, dude. That's really good. Oh, I never thought about that. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this show is just layered with stuff that you could just interpret it in so many different ways, especially with the food.
Yeah.
I mean, we have in this episode, like, last episode was the eels, and this, yeah, episode is when Sean makes the lobster
ice cream. Like, sacrilege. As someone who works in restaurants, don't ever do that. That's a bad idea.
I'm very curious, actually.
I do kind of want to try that, to be honest.
Right?
I was like, when he was making it, and he, like, put it in the blender and, like, whipped it up, I was like, that looks gross, but I kind of want to try it.
And as far as, like, Leanne's development, I think there's a key scene with that lobster ice cream towards the end of the episode,
mm-hmm,
where, like, obviously Sean can't taste anything,
right,
which is a very interesting topic all on its own.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, is there something genuinely, like, wrong with him that could be explained, or is,
right,
it something else?
Right.
And then Leanne comes in late at night, and she's hungry.
Right.
And she grabs the lobster ice cream. He's like, hey, you're not going to like that.
Yeah. And I think she says, too, she's like, I've never had lobster before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, you definitely won't like it. You've never had lobster? Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
And she tastes it.
Yeah.
And she gives him some feedback.
Yeah.
And I think he takes it and runs with it. And you can see, like, the gears turning in his head. He's like, okay, if I put... She says add dark chocolate or something like that. And he's like, okay, if I do this, it'll balance out the acidity from this, and then it'll balance that out. And he has like an epiphany moment from her. So I thought it was pretty interesting as well.
I thought that it kind of shows to how their relationship is evolving.
Yeah.
Where like she comes into the kitchen, he wants nothing to do with her. Mm-hmm. She gives this suggestion of how to improve his ice cream. And now he's like, well, wait a minute. Like, this is a pretty good suggestion. Like, maybe she's not so bad to keep around. Right, right. Like, I don't know. Like you said, the gears are turning. Yeah, like, it might be more than just about the ice cream now.
For sure.
It's like, is Leanne becoming a friend? Is she becoming like a daughter-like figure to him now?
I think that she may be filling some type of role. Like we mentioned for the previous episode that Dorothy is kind of maybe having this like maternal instinct with Leanne, and perhaps are we seeing like the openings of a paternal instinct with Sean now? Because that was a really nice moment between the two of them that hasn't happened thus far. I don't think they've had any interactions like that thus far. So that was really cool to see.
Yeah, this was like the first genuine moment between the two of them.
Right, right.
And it seems like, to your point, that like everything that happens with Dorothy, like Sean seems to be a few steps behind, but he gets there.
Yeah.
Where like obviously Dorothy was treating the reborn doll like it was actually Jericho, and then this real baby comes into the house, and all of a sudden Sean sees a real baby that he's starting to treat like his real son.
Yeah.
And then now like Dorothy has like this maternity type role with Leanne, and now maybe Sean's taking on a paternity type role. Like,
I think so,
and,
man.
And it's getting kind of crazy. But I mean, right before we get too comfortable, there's a big reveal regarding Leanne and Dorothy at the end of this episode, where Leanne puts on, because Dorothy records all of her broadcast journalism things,
everything she's ever done,
and she specifically takes one dated and marked off the shelf, puts it in the tape, and we see Dorothy interviewing a young Leanne,
right?
Which kind of like goes to like what I was theorizing before, where it's like, I think Leanne really is Leanne. Maybe she like faked her death. Maybe she didn't steal someone's identity, because like the kid in the video is clearly named Leanne.
Yeah.
And why would she put that in if that wasn't actually her? Or like, how would she even know about it if that wasn't actually her? So it's like, did she pick out this family from the very beginning, the family that she wants to go with to potentially raise her child, if this Jericho baby is really her child and not like some other child she kidnapped, or the doll come to life?
Right,
I don't know,
something like that. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a really strange like throwback moment that we were able to see a potentially young Leanne. And like I said in the beginning of the show, like the second we have any type of like, I think nope, because I would have never thought that Leanne would have met. I'm sorry, Dorothy would have met a young Leanne, and she could have potentially followed them along their path during their fertility. So I thought that was really interesting. And it adds another like dynamic layer to the relationship between Leanne and Dorothy. And furthermore, it adds more to our thought of like, this could be a potential like non-supernatural resolution. Like this could be a potential like, okay, well, this could have happened. Like this is not outside the realm of a possibility that, you know, she knew them years and years and years before, and she's been following them and kind of just like swooped in at the perfect time. So I don't know what to make of it. Just like I said, you know, you think you know a thing or three about the show, and throws you for a loop, man.
Yeah, most certainly does. And like you said, like we keep bouncing back and forth between like what is real, what's supernatural. Maybe all of it's real.
Yeah.
Maybe all of it's not. And to that point, until we were talking about the suggestions for the lobster ice cream, is because Sean couldn't taste it.
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to taste anything now for a few episodes.
Yeah, he's been having some like serious physical like ailments that have been like afflicting him recently,
like stepping on like wood chips.
Yeah, he was getting out splinters like every, and then
coming out of his mouth.
Like, yeah. And so this episode, one of the weird physical ailments that Sean was enduring was we thought it was like a bit of a funny moment. I laughed a little bit. Where they were in the restroom together, and Sean is like in the mirror looking at his eye, and you can tell he's like, something's bothering him. And Dorothy walks in, and she's starting to brush her teeth, and she's like really going at it, getting nice and soapy. And he turns to Leanne. Sorry, he turns to Dorothy, rather, and he says, you know, do I have something in my eye? And she's like, oh, let me check. And he opens his eye, and she blows in it. Like toothpaste everywhere. I thought that was like a cool, like, coupley moment, and it was nice to have like a little bit of like humor to break up like the dun dun dun
that we get all the time. It was a little bit of levity, and like this, it was like you said, it was a great couple moment between the two of them. Yeah, and, like I laughed, especially like Toby Kebbell's delivery of that whole
moment.
He's like, "You got toothpaste in my eye," and he like freaks out. And she just kind of gets mad. Like, she's like, it brushes off like whatever.
I can't help but think that that was done like as an improv moment, because if you notice, the camera was all on her the entire time, and he says that off camera.
Yeah,
a part of me thinks that was like an improv. I hope it was to me. I hope it was, because that was a great, great funny moment that I'm glad they kept for the final episode, for the final cut of the episode.
Yeah, and I know he didn't direct the episode, but to me that's a perfect M. Night Shyamalan type of awkward humor, kind of out of left field, that doesn't work for most people, but it works for me.
It works.
In the first episode that I talked about how. That whole line, he's like, you better not masturbate in the house.
Yeah!
And she's around, he's like, you try and stop me.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it anyway, like, watch me.
The way he delivers those lines
is spot on.
It's just so ridiculous.
It's really good.
I absolutely love it.
I thought that was my favorite lines from the first episode, too. I'm still gonna do it. Watch me.
And that's, again, one of those moments between the two of them where we see that they're husband and wife. Yeah, like, they've had a lot going on, obviously. A lot of weird stuff going on, a lot of stress in their lives. But every once in a while, they find these moments between the two of them that kind of, like, gives you a little bit of levity, and that kind of throws you off guard for what's to come next.
It does. It does, because you like we keep saying, like, you don't know what's happening next. So it's nice to break up that like scary monotony all the time where you're always on edge.
Yeah.
And it makes to me them a real couple. You know, they seem like genuine people in those moments where you're like, okay, like, I would do something like that. I'd spit toothpaste in somebody's eye on mistake. I'm crazy.
It makes
like
it believable.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get into our next segment, which is our special segment. And we're going to, once again, go into some servant fun facts. We got some good ones here today.
We do. Yeah. The more you know. So, as you guys know, I do, I work in restaurants. I have for many years. So my insight into this show in particular was well warranted, because I know a thing or three.
Yeah, I'm dying to hear about it.
Yeah, so one of the fun facts about the show that I kind of discovered today was that the Italian chef Mark, his name is Mark Vitri. He was hired as a consultant for scenes involving cooking and recipes for the show, because the main character, Sean Turner, as we've been talking about, is a consulting chef who creates recipes for restaurants. Now, I can say hands down that they did an incredible job with this. The attention to detail and the little nuances within the house itself, even within the set direction, I think were incredible. There is one scene, I think, in the second episode where we're looking down. Actually, you know, I think it was maybe the first episode where we get first introduced to Leanne, and the camera's looking down the hallway, and Dorothy's running to the door to actually invite Leanne in. This is when we first meet her. And right on the left side is a kind of credenza, like holding a bunch of stemware, like glassware, Bordeaux glasses, Burgundy glasses, and what have you. There is no reason anyone who doesn't work in restaurants should have like 30 Bordeaux glasses, 60 Burgundy glasses. So little things like that, I was like, okay, this man is definitely a chef. And then moreover, going back to the whole food thing, obviously food is thrown throughout the entire series. But moreover, wine. He has an impressive, like, I know the wine that they were drinking. He has an impressive wine cellar. That bottle of wine they opened from like 1994 or whatever, I think, in the third episode.
Yeah.
That's a really expensive bottle of wine.
Well, I think they mentioned the price of it.
It's like a couple G's.
Yeah.
It's like really expensive. Really expensive,
it's insane. Wine. And then Leanne takes it and he's like, I like the other one better.
Yeah. That's a nice little like jab, little chef jab. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Another cool fun fact about the show that came up was this whole idea about the doll. So, if you guys didn't know, there's several companies that do reborn dolls. So, the first reborn doll was supplied to the show. They thought the reborn doll was a little too realistic. So, we're showing you a couple examples right now. So, they actually had to go back and film a couple scenes with a new altered doll, because they thought the reborn doll that they originally had was a little too real. And if you guys are looking at what we're looking at right now, yo, I think the doll in the series itself is already like a little too real. This right here? Yo, I would freak out if I saw that. That is insane. No wonder they had to switch it to like a less realistic doll, because that right there is like a little scary to me.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this on the last episode, but seeing the actual images is a completely different story.
Right.
I mean, it is absolutely crazy. I mean, if I had seen a doll like this in the first episode when he smacks that head against the bread, which I mean, cannot keep talking, like, stop talking about it.
Guy had shivers for days. like shivers. That was creepy.
That's the moment of the show. But it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and one of the last really cool facts that we kind of lead into maybe some predictions we may have ending the show here was that producer M. Night Shyamalan said he envisions a show lasting for six seasons. Given the twists and turns we've had in four episodes, six seasons? I cannot imagine what this man has up his sleeve if he wants to stretch himself for six seasons. What do you think?
I can see this show get it going in some really unique and weird directions. Like, we've talked about, you know, Leanne and Dorothy and Sean and Jericho. You know, put Jericho in quotes here.
Yeah, you have to.
they're starting to become like a big happy family almost. It's like, is there going to be some point where Leanne is no longer, I guess, for lack of a better word, the antagonist, and they kind of like team up and something else goes down?
I don't know, man.
I just can't even.
I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't.
The six show seasons is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. He's an incredible director and producer, M. Night Shyamalan. So I'm sure he'll be able to do it. But my goodness, like, we're only four episodes in, and I'm like, Give me more.
I mean, I'll keep taking more. Keep it going.
You can bring seasons. We won't stop watching. Of course not. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to see him stretch it out as long as he possibly could.
Yeah, certainly. And and I know I got to talk about the lobster ice cream again.
Yeah.
Because I believe it was Julian comes in and Sean goes to, like, he gives him a spoonful and he's like, here, try this.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what is it? He's like, lobster ice cream. He's tossing it aside.
What the hell is this crap? Yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool scene. In that scene, too, if you remember, Julian drinks heavily. Mm-hmm. Heavily. I mean, like, I think in the second and third episode, he was drinking some, like, aged scotch. And, like, I think it was, like, scotch and soda. Mm-hmm. If you know, they were, like, slamming them down. Those are, like, 6-7 ounce shots. That's a big shot. That's a big shot to be drinking down. And in that scene in the kitchen where he eats the ice cream, he says, he drinks the water, he's like, I'm gonna take this back to work. I'm like, bro, what kind of job you got?
And that's another point I wanted to bring up too about the wine and the wine collection and the drinking.
Yeah.
Because he gives him the wine and it's supposed to be this great wine and he drinks it and he can't taste anything.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not gonna waste this on you.
Yeah. It's interesting how those roles have swapped. Like, he's like the more sophisticated sommelier now almost, and because Sean doesn't have his taste buds, he's kind of like chopped liver.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see where things go with the taste buds, with Sean's overall health.
Yeah.
But now that we have this big reveal with Dorothy and Leanne at the end, where do you see that going?
I don't know. I mean, my best prediction moving forward would be, again, that dynamic between the two main women in the show again. Because every episode we get more and more insight and, like, more and more layers. Like, I would have never predicted that Dorothy and Leanne had met previously, even though, you know, Leanne was not a toddler, she's, you know, like a little, like maybe 8-9 years old or so, roughly, by looking at the footage that we saw
at a children's pageant.
Yeah. So I think that I want to say Leanne has a deeper tie to them than we know thus far. What that is, I don't know if she was pregnant with Jericho or what happened to Jericho, but I definitely think we should keep our eyes on Leanne and Dorothy. That dynamic is something that I'm really intrigued to see what happens next with that.
Yeah, I don't even think we really touched on how Leanne ultimately takes Jericho and follows Dorothy to work, and Sean catches her on TV.
Yeah.
And of course, Sean is super upset about it.
Yeah, he was.
But then Dorothy just kind of brushes it off. Like, oh, I'm so happy you were there. Like, you should have said hi.
You know, I never really thought about that. You're absolutely right. That was a very, like whatever kind of moment that, in knowing the character Dorothy that we know thus far, I don't think that would have flew for her. Given the past Dorothy that we've been encountered with, so
yeah, and I think that this episode really had a big focus on Dorothy's profession as a field reporter.
Yeah,
and it's interesting to see like how this show incorporates both Sean's and Dorothy's profession into the plot.
Yeah,
very heavily.
Yeah, it is,
and so we have a lot of stuff we talked about the relationship with Leanne and Sean, them kind of bonding over the lobster ice cream.
Yeah,
and then of course the reporter stuff is really what drives the plot of this episode, and of course the big reveal at the end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like this show has so many layers like that, where we could examine every frame.
Absolutely.
If we had the time. I absolutely loved this episode. It was episode 4, the title Bear.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that, why it was titled Bear?
You know, I don't know. Every episode we've done thus far, there's been a very clear, like, okay, eels. Mm-hmm. We understand previous episode.
But I mean, he does put the nanny cam in a stuffed bear.
Oh,
but
I
feel like, is there anything more?
Is there another, like, bear?
Well, I guess he takes it out of a stuffed bear, really. Yeah. And he just puts it into the wall.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any other, like, bear reference that we've encountered or, like, anything like that.
No, I think we're going to have to ponder on that some more. But thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so guys, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Terrell James Maple. I'm always there posting away. Holler at me. I always holler back.
Yeah, and I'm Brandon Hanna. You can find me Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHanna07. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Servant After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. And I can't wait to talk to you about episode 5. So, see you then.
Yep, peace.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.